You're tuned to WFHB
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Jada Lucas.
And I'm Doug Storm. This is the Daily Local News for Monday, November 6th, 2017.
We had some trees just that came down across the roadway, and power was out down in my part of Monroe County in Indian Creek Township.
Storms battered parts of Lawrence and Monroe counties today, causing a gas leak and mandatory evacuation in Bedford and leaving area residents without power. WFHB News Director Wes Martin talks to Monroe County Sheriff Brad Swain about the emergency response to the storm in today's feature report. That's coming up later in the program.
Also coming up in the next half hour, babies born addicted to drugs experience pain and distress in their first days. Their mothers, experiencing the same withdrawal, are often unable to be with them through recovery. The IU Health Bloomington's Cuddler program allows volunteers to hold and comfort babies born with addiction. Susan Ashburn helped establish a pool of volunteers for that program. Ashburn talks about the Cuddler program on today's edition of Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community. That's coming up later in the program. But first, your local headlines.
Over 200 scientists and academics presented a letter to Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb late last week, objecting to the logging of the Yellowwood Backcountry area. The letter was authored by Earlham College professor Leslie Bishop and was signed by 228 academics and scientists. The letter states that in 2002, over 40% of Indiana's state forests were exempted from commercial logging. In 2017, the letter alleges less than 5% was exempt. The letter details wildlife that are dependent on old-growth forests in Indiana, including the endangered Indiana bat, which has been located in the Yellowwood Backcountry area. Logging is already taking place in Yellowwood, with commercial contracts being auctioned to bidders this Thursday morning. Officials from the Indiana Department of Natural Resources have allocated 299 acres of forest in the state park for individual tree harvesting. Opposition to the DNR's logging plans point out that even selective logging will involve the use of skid steers and heavy machinery, damaging undergrowth and habitats. Last week, local environmentalists announced the establishment of an encampment of forest and nature supporters in opposition to the DNR's proposed logging. Members of the Mind the Gap organization, which is in opposition to the logging of Yellowwood's Low Gap area, stated on Facebook that campers will protect the trees and habitat of Yellowwood State Forest from logging. The Indiana DNR plans to hold a public auction for Low Gap timber on Thursday.
The DNR's Divisions of Water and Oil and Gas appointed new leadership last week. Ryan Mueller and Russell Rutherford were appointed by Governor Holcomb to lead the Water Division and Oil and Gas Division, respectively. Mueller was formerly the Executive Director of the Interstate Council on Water Policy, a national nonprofit group based in Bloomington. Rutherford previously worked as the President of Basin Field Services, Incorporated, and he has worked for the DNR before.
The City of Bloomington Sanitation Department is beginning its residential leaf collection today. Collections are expected to continue until December 22nd. Residents who wish to have their leaves collected should place their leaves in a designated leaf disposal bag, which can be acquired through local retailers. Bags are picked up from the curb by 5 a.m. each day. A statement from the Sanitation Department stated that leaves disposed of in standard trash bags will not be collected. City sanitation changes state that the bags no longer require a sticker, but must weigh less than 40 pounds. City Sanitation Services will also begin removing leaves from curbs and sidewalks beginning today. The Bloomington Sanitation Department would also like to remind residents that composting or mulching leaves is the most environmentally friendly way to dispose of leaves and encourages residents to look into those methods as alternate options of leaf disposal. More information regarding collection can be found online at bloomington.in.gov/leaves.
United States Attorney General Jeff Sessions spoke in Indianapolis today. Sessions was invited to speak with the members of the 10-Point Coalition by Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill. The 10-Point Coalition's mission statement aims at reducing violent crime through unemployment opportunities. The organization has been lauded by the Federal Bureau of Investigation for their work around the Indianapolis neighborhoods. Vice President Mike Pence also addressed the coalition in August. More than a dozen pastors and religious leaders protested Sessions' visit, criticizing the Attorney General's civil rights and humanitarian record.
Star enthusiasts will be able to see an array of astronomical events throughout November. Hal Kibbe is a columnist for Star Track, Indiana University's astronomy newsletter. He says Saturn, Jupiter, Mars, and Venus will be visible throughout the month, and Saturn will be four times as bright as the other stars on the southwestern horizon. Mars can be seen 3 hours before sunrise in the constellation Virgo. Venus and Jupiter will be in view next Monday. Both planets will rise in the east-southeast about an hour before sunrise. Kibbe says Venus will be the brighter one on the left of Jupiter.
Venus and Jupiter are especially attractive if you can find a viewing place where you can see them so close to the horizon. They're the two brightest points of light in the night sky, and they will be very close together the morning of November 13th. That's a really unusual sight, especially if you have a telescope. You'll be able to see them both in the same field of view of the telescope, and that is unusual. Normally, planets are far enough apart that an ordinary telescope can't look at both of them at the same time, but these two will be so close together that you'll be able to look at them at the same time.
Kibbe says Venus and Jupiter can be viewed together until the end of November, when Venus will fade out of view. Jupiter will still be around 2 hours before sunrise, and next week Mercury will be visible during the twilight hours in the southwest. On November 27th, Mercury will pass 3 degrees south of Saturn. Kibbe says that both planets will be visible together during the evening twilight. The annual Leonid meteor shower will peak next Friday, November 17th. Kibbe says the Leonid showers are due to streams of particles from the tail of Comet Temple-Tuttle.
There is a comet called Comet Temple-Tuttle, and it rotates, revolves around the sun like the planets do, has its own orbit. And every once in a while, Earth crosses the path of the comet, not seeing the comet itself, but just the path in space where the comet passed by the last time it was in the vicinity. And when the comet is traveling through space, especially near the sun, it leaves behind a stream of debris, particles that are melted off the surface of the comet by the heat of the sun.
Viewers can expect a rate of 10 meteors an hour during the peak of the Leonid meteor shower. Kibbe says the Leonid meteors strike Earth's atmosphere at 44 miles per second. The parent of the meteor shower, the Temple-Tuttle comet itself, will not be able to be seen.
When Earth passes through this stream of debris that's orbiting the sun in space, then we get what we call meteor showers. The dust particles from the comet are burned up as they come into Earth's atmosphere by friction with the air molecules, and that split-second tremendous heating as they get vaporized causes a bright streak in the sky. We call that a comet, and there are a bunch of them when Earth passes through that stream of debris.
Viewers in South Central Indiana witnessed a full moon over the past weekend. This Friday brings a quarter moon, and November 18th marks a new moon. The 26th will end the month with a first quarter moon. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Doug Storm.
And I'm Jada Lucas. Yesterday's fierce storms battered southern Monroe and northern Lawrence counties before turning into tornadoes in central Indiana. The Lawrence County Sheriff's Office warned residents through its Facebook page yesterday of a gas leak along Gasline Road. The Lawrence County Sheriff's Department set up a temporary command center at Springville Elementary School and directed displaced residents there. Monroe County Sheriff Brad Swain said things were calmer here, but as he tells WFHB News Director Wes Martin, personnel and resources were standing by.
In Monroe County, we had some trees just that came down across the roadway, and power was out down in my part of Monroe County in Indian Creek Township. My neighbor reported that power's back on as of 10:30. You know, the real damage happened over at Lawrence County, not too far from the county line. But as far as damage, it's I know there was some hail because it was pounding the side of our home, and hail on our walkways and things in that part of the county. But as far as large trees down or power being out from things that happened in Monroe, I'm not aware of any.
Was there any communication or any coordination between the Monroe County Sheriff's Department and Lawrence County Sheriff's Department?
The report I've got from a captain down there, one of my off-duty deputies happened to be down there and lent a hand. I'm not sure who it was yet. I communicated with Monroe County's EMS director, Allison Moore. My chief deputy did as well. She had gone down to provide assistance, and they had things well in hand. I'd offered assets and resources if they were needed, but as far as the immediate needs, everything was well in hand, and we haven't sent any vehicles or specialized equipment to them. We remain available if they should have a need.
What would be some of the services that could or would be provided to Lawrence County if they needed some help?
Well, I have off-road vehicles, utility vehicles, as well as personnel, and any you know, equipment like that to help with getting personnel moved around. And then I think it'd probably be limited to that, is some specialized vehicles and personnel.
And I think that there was quite a bit of flooding, at least when I was walking in downtown Bloomington yesterday. There was a ton of flooding in the streets. Have you had any reports of people reporting flooding or any washed out roads or anything?
No, I haven't. I drove around some of the roads and found a lot of leaves and some sticks, debris that washed onto it from hillsides, but nothing, no bridges or roads being washed out down this way that I'm aware of.
Sheriff Swain, is there anything that you or your department would like to let people know when it comes to big storms like this, like the one that blew in over the weekend?
To just follow all the precautions that are out, listen to the sirens if they can be heard where you live, and have provisions in the event you have power outages and have to do without some resources for a short amount of time. That's always a good policy to have in place.
And Sheriff Swain, is there anything else going on in your department or anything you'd like to tell our listeners?
We've initiated the beginnings of our in-service program. Let me back that up for you.
Thank you.
We've recently began the initial phases of our mandatory fitness requirement with Sheriff's Office for our patrol deputies, which includes series of physical exercise that is part of the curriculum for the police academy. At this point, we have 3 days in which the deputies meet at Edgewood Track, and we do a physical assessment on push-ups, sit-ups, vertical jump, some running events, and we have 3 different dates scheduled for that. Next year, we will begin mandatory fitness for those that don't meet the standards. We'll be working with those deputies to ensure that they do meet those criteria, and we're initiating an overall wellness program, which includes health and nutrition, as well as financial wellness and substance abuse education to ensure the success of our deputies and to reduce any risk of employee failure. Anytime you lose an employee in the law enforcement world, your costs are about $50,000 to get that replacement in line. So having a healthier department has been one of my goals since I took office. So by 2018, we will have our mandatory fitness and wellness program underway, and I
look forward to a lot of good things to come from that.
All right. Thank you very much, Sheriff Swain.
You're welcome.
That was WFHB News Director Wes Martin speaking with Monroe County Sheriff Brad Swain. The Lawrence County Sheriff's Department is warning homeowners to watch out for contractors attempting to scam homeowners following yesterday's storms. Those storms turned into tornadoes as they moved north onto Indiana's plains.
The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Support also comes from Smithville Fiber, a local provider of internet, voice, and TV service, now also offering home automation and security systems for homes and offices throughout South Central Indiana. More information on Smithville's home automation service is available at smithvillesecurity.com.
Now it's time for Activate, our weekly segment spotlighting people working for positive change in our community.
Welcome to Activate, featuring tales of inspiration from local citizens who stand up for what they believe in and encouraging you to find your cause, live your passion, make a difference. Volunteer.
My name is Susan Ashburn. I'm a nurse, a grandmother, and have always enjoyed holding newborns, of course. I am a volunteer here at IU Health, Bloomington Hospital, and I work in the Cuddler Program, which is a program that was established for newborns born of mothers who were drug addicted. We know that they are being treated for a drug addiction themselves. And if we can be just a little bit of their healing just by holding them, talking softly, swaddling, singing, rocking, if we can do that just to make a baby feel better, then that's plenty. I get more of a benefit out of that than the babies do, I think. You know, years ago when I worked labor and delivery in the nursery in Kokomo, actually, you know, there was not time to give a baby the support and love and holding and cuddling and swaddling because of the demands of the job. So I said, someday I'm going to come back to this hospital and sit and rock a baby. I've had that in the back of my mind. And then when this program was established just 2.5 years ago, I said, yeah, that's for me. And that's how I got involved, because it was something I felt like I wanted to do, and I knew that there was a need. The Cuddler program does allow me to be able to give back, to help people who I know come from different families, have different needs. It's just always kept me so much aware that people, no matter from what walk of life they come, everyone needs help once in a while. I also train cuddlers on the floor, so I have that added responsibility. What I like to always emphasize is the fact that our job is not to make any judgments of anyone. You don't judge a mom and dad, a grandparent, anyone visiting. You don't judge that baby. You don't judge a nurse's unless you walk in that person's shoes. You just don't know what sort of grief they've had in their life. You know, when we first started, the Cuddler program first started, and we wore our green shirts and our volunteer badges, people would say, and you do what? And where are you? Well, now, you know, the other nurses up here on the postpartum will come and look for us and say, I need you. You know, and that makes us feel really good, because at first, no one knew who we were, what we were, and we had to describe our services. So I know that we are very much appreciated, and to be sought out by others who are employed just makes you really feel good and know that you're here for a reason, and what you're doing is a good thing. The community is just very fortunate to have such a wonderful unit and a wonderful hospital and nurses, doctors, and cuddlers. Thank you for listening. My name is Susan Ashburn. I am a volunteer with IU Health Bloomington Hospital in the NICU as a cuddler.
You may visit the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network website to see a full organization profile at bloomington.in.gov/volunteer. Now here's a rundown of current volunteer opportunities in Bloomington and Monroe County.
For the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, I'm Lucy Shake with three featured volunteer opportunities for the week. Your very own TED moment is waiting. Individuals are needed to assist with the TEDx Bloomington Salon at the Bishop on the evening of November 13th. Greet guests and be a part of the idea sharing. Or knit or crochet to help raise funds for the Unitarian Universalist Church's Holiday Art Fair and Bazaar. 100% of the money raised from sales will support the Monroe County United Ministries Food Pantry. Make your favorites. Hats, scarves, stuffed animals, and small blankets have all sold well in the past. All creations must be completed and delivered by November 29th in time for the sale on December 1st and 2nd. And finally, put your organizational skills to use for New Hope for Families Homeless Shelter as a short-term administrative assistant for the executive director. This 8-hour project will set them up for success. And that's a look at just some of the ways you can connect to your community through volunteering. For WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, I'm Lucy Shake.
You've been listening to Activate, a co-production of WFHB and the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network, working together to build an empowered, vibrant, and engaged community. You may visit bloomington.in.gov/volunteer to find and sign up for local volunteer opportunities. All episodes of Activate are available online at wfhb.org/news/activate. For Bloomington Community Radio, I'm Jennifer Brooks.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Wes Martin, Jonah Chester, and Alex Davis. Our feature was produced by Wes Martin.
Activate is produced by Lucy Shake from the City of Bloomington Volunteer Network. Our engineer is Michael Glab. Our theme music is provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, I'm Doug Storm.
And I'm Jada Lucas. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast, as well as all other WFHB news programming online at WFHB.org.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news@wfhb.org.
If you use iTunes, you can have the show delivered directly to you. Just go to the iTunes store, search for WFHB Daily Local News, and subscribe to our podcast.
Stay tuned for Kiteline, a program amplifying the voices of those within Indiana's prison system. Coming up next on WFHB.
The Daily Local News is produced by a staff of over 50 volunteers
working in the WFHB News and Public Affairs Department.
Comments, suggestions, and story ideas
may be submitted directly to our news staff via email.
The address is news@wfhb.org.